Hello, my name is Kayla Bozzi, a 3-sport athlete at Swan Valley High School in Saginaw, Michigan. I was introduced to Lead 'Em Up this past basketball season as we started by doing a 21-day challenge, and it really helped our team chemistry immensely. Lead 'Em Up has really taught me and my teammates that the little things on a team create the big things, and I believe our team was successful this past season because of the leadership and chemistry that was built through the season thanks to Lead 'Em Up.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A. Today, I'm joined by Kayla Smith of Chick-fil-A, and we're going to be discussing a very important topic that we all need to make sure we have a good grasp on, and that is this concept of leading through change. I'm excited to have you with me on this because when I think about change, you obviously are the coach of your team. You own and operate your Chick-fil-A location, and you've got quote-unquote players, athletes working for you, just like a team would for a coach. And this past year of COVID obviously created a significant amount of change, but within your particular situation, you actually had your best year ever. You had your best year ever in the midst of the most change. And we always talk about not just leading through change, but how do we get to a point when we're leading through change, we can actually win through the change, right? It's not just like, how do we survive through the change? Like, we actually want to come out better on the other side of the change. And how do we do that? You were able to do that in an incredible way. I mean, the best year ever in light of the most change ever, right? You were able to maintain this energy and enthusiasm and this commitment from your team of pouring in. And that doesn't happen by accident. Okay. And my guess is if you sat back and was very reflective on the year and you began to evaluate all the things you did to help you lead through change, there are many takeaways that you probably gathered. And I want to have that conversation because I think from a coaching standpoint, sport is all about change. It's a constant change. You're trying to, you know, tweak. You're changing game plans from one team to the next. You're having to change for your players, you know, because maybe you've got a different group of players that need or perform differently than the previous year. It's a constant change. You got to live on your tiptoes, like we often talk about, and lead them up, because when you get on your heels, you're flat footed. You're not in a situation in a moment of engagement. Let's start breaking this down here. You know, I wanted to start from the key tenets. When you think about leading through change, Kayla,
okay,
what are some of the key components from you as a leader's perspective that you've got to be locked in on? Okay. What are some of those traits?
Sure. So the first thing that I think about when I think of leading through change, and I think of an intense commitment to communication. So whether that's verbal or nonverbal, it could be email, it could be the one-on-one conversations that I'm having, meetings, Zoom calls, whatever that looks like. But it's an intense commitment to almost overly communicating what is going on. Where are we assessing reality? What is the future state that we're looking for?
And what if you don't know?
Well, that's a great question. There's a lot of times you don't know, especially during COVID, there were so many things that we didn't know. We didn't know what future state looked like, but we knew we couldn't stay the same. We knew that change was inevitable, whether it was customer expectations asking us to change, or it was regulations, or Chick-fil-A asking us to change certain procedures and standards. So at that point, it's just communicating, hey, we can no longer stay the same. And so we're going to have to like move from this place that we're in, and we're going somewhere different. I'm not maybe 100% sure where we're going, but trust me, I'm taking you somewhere good. And I have the best intentions for the business and for you personally as well. And just overly communicating, I got you. It's a sense of hope in the future. I think people that are experiencing change have a little bit of a fear of what's next. And so while I might not be able to clearly define that for them in that moment, I will let them know that I'm going to make the best decisions I can for the future. And then when I do know where I'm going, come back around and let them know, hey, here's what we're doing.
In the midst of change, I've always found the team is desperate for the leader.
Yeah, absolutely. They're looking to you.
They need you. Like, and when I say need you, I'm not just saying like they need your leadership guidance for, like, they need you. They're unsure. They're nervous. They're scared. They're, you know, there's uncertainty, and you know, they need this hope from the leader. So I love the phrasing you just said, increased commitment to communication, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's intense, right? Mm-hmm. Or you said intense, sorry, intense commitment to communication. That's incredible. Like, it tells you, you're not just saying like a little bit more communication. No, like there needs to be a significant increase and it needs to be intense.
Yeah. And part of that is just putting it on the calendar and making it, again, part of your strategy is, okay, we're going to update the team so often, whether that's every other day, whether that's once a week. Hey, the next email communication coming out about the future is going to be on this date, and then committing to that. And so they know when the next communication piece is coming out. So we were really intentional about that through COVID, was just constantly over communicating with where we are and where we're going. And we'll continue to do that moving forward. The second one is just having a spirit of innovation. I think when you're going through change, I think sometimes you know where you're going, but a lot of times you might not know what's coming up. And so just knowing that you're making these quick decisions and you might not have all the facts. And I think COVID was good for me in that regard. As a leader, I have always prided myself on having a bunch of facts and figures to make the most important and practical and wise business decision. But all of a sudden you have no facts and you're having to make these incredible decisions. And so commit to the decision and then commit to editing that as you move forward, and being okay with a loss of perfectionism, I guess you could say, as a leader. That was probably the biggest leadership lesson that I learned through COVID, was execute without the facts and be comfortable having a plan and then editing that as you move forward.
I'm taking that one from you, Kayla. Commit and then edit, right? I love that. And, you know, think smart, fail fast is one that I think about a lot of times, right? Like, okay, I'm going to try to be really thoughtful in this moment. I'm going to try to be creative. I'm going to try to innovate and try to figure out what's next. I'm going to think smart in light of what I have available to me, information wise. But I will fail fast. Like, to your point, editing, I will make the changes. I will make the tweaks. I will make the adjustments as we go. And I will do that very intentionally and commit and then edit. I hadn't heard it phrased like that, but I like it. So it hits.
Awesome. The third thing that you need to prioritize as a leader through change is protecting your culture. I think a lot of times as leader, we view change as like a system or a process that's changing, or, you know, something about the fundamentals or the operation. And we tend to forget that there's people involved. There's humans, there's hearts, there's minds, there's opinions. People tend to be a little bit afraid during change. And so,
why do you think people are afraid of change?
People are definitely afraid of change because it's a fear of letting go of something that's very comfortable for them and that they've become accustomed to. There's security in that. And then there's a fear of where are they going next?
So how do we get leader, how do we help
can they
that?
Trust the leader? That's a great question. So part of that is allowing them the opportunity to mourn or grieve what you're asking them to let go of. Okay. So people have this innate fear. It's not even a fear of the change itself. It's the fear of letting go of what they think is the way. Hmm. Well, this is the way we always do things. Okay. Well, now it's not going to be that way, but let's talk about that. Like, and then making it really clear that there is a future that's really exciting for them. Hey, this is why we have to make those changes. And here's what the changes are going to look like. And then here's how that change is going to benefit you potentially in the long run. And it's helping them let go of the past while simultaneously grabbing onto the future and saying, this is going to be good for me. But you as the leader have to define that and lead them through that process, because people don't innately understand that their fear of change is letting go of something that they're really comfortable with.
That's interesting. Almost like a track baton.
Yeah. Passing the baton.
Like letting go of one, but then immediately grabbing the other.
Yeah. Because if you let them hang in the middle there and you've said, hey, we're no longer doing this, we're going this direction. It's like, hold on, time out. What's happening? People tend to you haven't given them time to process. And if you leave them hanging in the middle and you haven't told them why we're letting go and why we're moving forward in a different direction, how that benefits them, then that's where fear and insecurity start to...
Anxiety and all
that. Yeah, and that's not going to be healthy for anyone.
Let's talk about that grieving process, because I've never really thought about that before from a change perspective. I want to process that with you. So when you talk about grieving, like, can you elaborate a little bit more? Are you talking like ceremonial grieving? So like...
Sure. There's times when you might need to ceremonial grieve the loss of something. So if you've always done something a certain way, you've always used a certain platform to communicate, then like on the last day, like, I don't know, throw a goodbye party for it.
Shut
the door, walk away. But give it the credence that it deserves. Give it the credit that it got you where you are. Right. Hmm. So yeah. Hey, that got us where we are. It's just not, it's not what's going to take us to the next level. So don't just rush through that process. It still played a pivotal part of who you are and where you are in your organization. But yeah, so say goodbye, bury it.
So you think that formal closure is helpful for people?
Absolutely. I think anytime I can allow my team to have a process and a time to really celebrate the loss of something, and you almost turn it into like a celebration of its impact. So think of a person. Yeah, sure. We grieve the loss, but we also celebrate their life and what they brought to the table and who they were and their legacy, right? So do the same thing with systems and processes and the way that you do things in your organization. So people need closure in order to move forward.
I would actually, as I'm thinking through in just my own personal life, I would agree with that. You know, I think about times in my various roles in different places where there's been change, significant change. And one, I do recognize the desperate longing for leadership in those moments. I will say I'm clinging to the leadership. I need their security. I need them, like almost like a child with a parent, right? Like the child's scared. You need the parent. Like I need to hold on to the parent in the midst of that change. I think the people we lead, they're clinging. They need us, right? Help me. Just give me peace of mind. Give me assurance, that type of thing. And when I've been in moments where there's been major change and we acknowledge it and we talk about where we were, what we did, and we share why it can't continue and why we have to change, and we go through that conversation, I view the grieving as more of just a processing, more talking through it.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. We're kind of going through why it's no longer valid, why we have to move on. And then in that moment, there's like an almost a closure of that while a transition into where we're going, the passing of the baton with very clear understanding of why we're moving in this direction, how it's going to benefit us. I can recall specifically being on calls and being in conversations like that, where I went in with a little anxiety, went in with a little uncertainty, went in not feeling joyful because there was a change taking place, and you're kind of privy to things. You know, we're going to be doing things a little different, whatever. But then walking out empowered, like walking out like with a new spirit, a new fresh perspective, almost like, let's go. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're in it together. Like I get it now. And like, let's go. And I've almost, you're fired up of like, hey, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to go after it. It's going to be great. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay. And in that moment, I've shifted to going from a place of viewing that change as like begrudgingly not wanting to do it. Right. Like, oh, you know, like I don't want to. And then all of a sudden leaving better, right? That's where we talk about like not just leading through change, but like getting better through change. Can you actually challenge yourself as a leader that, yes, anytime change takes place, what do I have to do to actually allow us to be better from the change? And I'm not just talking about better in the future because the change will produce a better result in the future. I'm talking about there in the moment. How can you get your team to be better engaged, better enthusiastic, better excited, right? I know that doesn't make sense, better excited. It sounds funny, but you get the point, right? Walk away from this spirit of change, thrilled. Let's go. That should be the goal. That should be the challenge.
Yeah, I don't think you can ask them to do that until you've given them time to process. like you said. Let's talk about that. And I think a lot of times as leaders, we want to rush that. We want to close the chapter and start something new. And it's like, okay, let's just hit pause. Just remember that there's humans involved and we have to help them. And they're not all wired like us. As a leader, there's a reason why we're a leader. We embody, typically we're quick decision makers. We can turn things off and on. We process faster. Well, yeah, you're the leader, but the people on your team are not necessarily wired the same way. So you're asking them to now act like a leader or now embody the competencies of a leader. It's not always going to be the same. So take a pause and reflect on how you can help your team transition and change.
That's a great reminder right there in and of itself, that just a side note, just a reminder that the people you lead don't have the mindset you have.
Oh.
Okay. And you know, we struggle with that because it comes so easily for us. We think and process it so much quicker. We come to the conclusions. We're able to move to the next thing and see the bigger picture. They can't.
No.
They can't. And we sometimes just expect it. Not for any negative reason. We just expect it.
We do because we think it's common sense. And I think the other thing is, as a leader, you've probably been thinking about that change for a lot longer than they have. So when you swoop in and send that email and say, hey, starting next Monday, we're going to be doing things a little differently. You've been thinking about that for 30 days or the last 2 weeks. You've put time and effort into making that decision. Well, all of a sudden you're just dropping that bomb on them and they haven't had time.
Should you plant seeds in advance of change?
I absolutely think that you should plant seeds. Yes.
Something's on the horizon.
Absolutely.
We're looking at some things.
We're looking at some things. There could be some things changing in the future, and walking them through that. And typically we try to announce a change 2 weeks before we actually put it into place. So it's never going to be, hey, starting tomorrow, we're doing this, or starting Monday, we're doing that. Talk about it, roll it out, let the team ask questions. Let them give their feedback. Let them be a part of the process of digesting that and then have a hard start date. And then at that point, you're moving forward with change. Of course, COVID was different. Yes, we were doing things
on the fly,
but in a more organized change strategy, that's kind of where I would land.
Hey, this is Josh from Chick-fil-A and author of the Adulting 101 book series. And this is today's leadership nugget. Deliver the mail to the right address. This phrase was born during a session with my leaders while we were developing team norms within our organization. There is nothing more toxic to a company than gossip. And as leaders, we want to help redirect those around us to approach the appropriate party with their frustrations or concerns. This seemingly small act can prevent massive amounts of misunderstanding and frustration within a group of friends, family, or a business. Now let's jump back into the episode.
If we dug into your mind, how much are you thinking ahead about change versus like here in the moment? Because I think one thing from leaders oftentimes, I know for me, I feel like I'm physically in the present and mentally in the future at all times. I really do. Like, and it's not that I'm like not appreciative of the moment or that I'm not engaged in the moment. I am, but my mind is so future oriented.
Sure.
Like what's next? Like, you know, I'm always thinking about, you know, how just 12 months from now, 6 months from now, how does your mind handle that dynamic?
Yeah, I feel like I'm on a seesaw. So I feel like I'm in the store every day and there's things happening real time right now that are keeping me focused. But I would say as a strategic leader in my business, I'm thinking at least probably for me, like 6 to 18 months down the road, I'm strategizing and planning. So keeping my eye on the horizon, looking for what's coming down the pipeline, whether that's Chick-fil-A information, it's regulations from the government. It could be customer expectations, what's happening in the industry of quick service, what's happening in the industries of other service, what's happening in the airline industry, what's happening in hotels. Is that going to trickle over to us? And so it's constantly scanning the horizon and looking for what's coming and what could potentially impact me at some point, and avoiding the disruptions, avoiding the pitfalls that can come. If you have your head down and you're working hard, I'm sure, but at some point, you know, you're going to get sidetracked or taken off guard by something. So for me, it's about constantly looking ahead and saying, where are we going? And are we on the right track that's going to take us through that?
I think most leaders will probably agree with where you and I are, right? This seesaw, sure. Right? Of being in the present, but just constantly looking forward. But that is another reminder to the point we just made of our the people we lead don't. They're not thinking like that.
Oh, no. They're definitely thinking right here, right now, today.
Right here, right now, today.
Between eight, you know, my shift is 8 to 5. It's what am I doing today?
100%. That is where their mind is at. So for us, we are going to have a different relationship with change. But recognizing the team members, where they are, I think that'll allow us to communicate more effectively when we understand where they're at. Right. We understand how they may take it compared to how we take it. So
sure.
I love that reminder there. You know, when I think about your three tenets, did you have any more tenets?
I have one more.
What's your fourth one?
Fourth. Sorry. I had another one. So my last one was try not to do it alone. So there's two parts to that. Number one, either finding someone who's in the same season as you. You know, we all go through seasons in our leadership journey. So find someone in your season that can make you feel like you're not alone on an island, like struggling, but then also find someone who's just down the road from you, a little bit further down the path, that's maybe gone through what you're going through, and ask them for their roadmap. So that's something that I've really been working on, is looking for people that have a little bit of experience in what I'm struggling with or the changes that I'm trying to make in my business, and saying, I don't have to do this alone. So many times as leaders, I think when we're in a challenging spot, making organizational shifts or changes, we just feel like we're like kind of floundering alone. And I think it's important to say, like, we are not designed to do it alone. So looking for a partner that can encourage you and walk through it with you, or they're looking for someone, I'm not going to use the word mentor, I don't think that's appropriate, but looking for someone that's further down the road that can say, hey, here's some tools that helped me get through that season.
Is that to help your mental state?
Absolutely. Hmm. Well, and they view things differently, or they'll give you feedback like, hey, I would just advise you not do it this way. This is a mistake I made. And so there's always somebody that you're helping. There's always someone that's helping you, right? Hmm. It's a hand in both directions. And I think if you're looking ahead and saying, hey, just give me a little bit of a guidance. I just actually did this 2 weeks ago. I was feeling a little bit lost in some organizational changes I was making. And I had a local operator here in the market who said, I'll give you a half a day to ask any questions that you have. I just went through what you're going through last year. Mm. Here's what I learned. Here's what we're doing. Here's what's working. Here's what's not working. And I was able to filter all of that and then walk away with my plan. Mm. But you have to be willing to share that you're struggling or that you're going through changes too, and asking for others to be a part of it.
So an intense commitment to communication, a spirit of innovation, protecting your culture and trying not to do it alone.
Yeah.
Right. Some of the tenets, when I think about, you know, some of my personal feelings on leading through change, that they're similar in some regard. You know, we, just like you, had our best year ever during COVID. Okay. Where a lot of people would say, people are actually concerned the opposite. They, man, is Lead 'Em Up okay? All the teams, sports are shut down, right? Like, that's your thing. You know, teams aren't together, but we recognize that the need for leadership was greater now more than ever, right? Because you couldn't do a lot of things on field, on court. So people needed to find other ways to keep their teams connected, continue growing and such. So when I think about the tenets for me, there's a variety of different things. One is, and this kind of plays into your innovation, is this, improvising through the process, Like, we continuously just tried to improvise, like, you know, okay, this is where we are now. Like, what's the best route in light of these circumstances? Okay. Now this is where we are now. What's the best route in light of these circumstances? And just improvising as we go. Right. I mean, there was moments where you don't really know what it's going to look like. You don't know how it's going to play out. For us, where we deal nationally with teams, you know, every state was different. Mm. Every county was different. I didn't even know if some teams are playing, some aren't, some are locked down, some aren't. Like, I don't even know. So we're just going to try to improvise as best as we can throughout this process, constantly changing, tweaking. To your point, why I liked, you know, your editing, right? Mm-hmm. It was a constant editing. Improvising, right? Just moving and adjusting accordingly, and really trying to create that spirit of improvising within the group. okay, where it wasn't just me, but really just challenging the team, like, hey, keep your eyes and ears open for things. Like, we need to figure out the best way. Any ideas, let me know, okay? And really almost saying, like, hey, give me three ideas you think we should be looking at. I love having people give tangible, don't just say, hey, you know, if you have any ideas, let me know. Like, that open-ended doesn't oftentimes mm-hmm. generate a reply. But hey, brainstorm, if you could, over the next 3 days, three things you think we should be doing right now. Hmm. And let me know. You're gonna get a reply with three very intentional things. And maybe you'll even get lucky and get four or five things because they couldn't narrow them down into three. You're going to get a lot more response. So there was a major spirit of improvising team-wide during the midst of this. And I think from a coaching standpoint, you know, it goes to that player-led dynamic when you kind of put some of the ownership on the players in the midst of change. Like, hey, we're constantly going to be looking to get better. Like, that's what we want. And if that means there's a new idea that I'm not introduced to, share that with me. Like, let's be a team that's collaboratively looking to improvise and improve and improve and improve. And we did a significant amount of that. Mm-hmm. The other tenet for me was this spirit of just hope and confidence, like you mentioned. Yeah. So I'm kind of piggybacking on that, where, you know, it is our job not to just paint a false picture, but to paint a hopeful picture. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to, you know, misconstrue the challenges, but I am going to, like, demonstrate my, like, zeal, my passion to just making it work. And, like, man, this, okay. All right. So this is where we're at right now. Okay. Okay. Well, like, all right, let's sit down. Let's brainstorm. Let's go. Hey, you know what? In the midst of challenges, this is when we do our best work, right? Like, having that mindset of just this hope, this optimism. And I feel like for my team, if you were to ask the Lead 'Em Up team, I think they felt that, right? We launched our virtual playbook. We launched a 21 day playbook. Here's a great example. We launched a 21 day playbook because we thought COVID was only going to be 21 days. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Right. We launched like a 3 week, 21 day playbook. We thought, all right, let's give everybody at no charge a free playbook to keep their teams engaged for the next 3 weeks until we get past this COVID bit. Then we realized 21 days wasn't enough, right? So then we moved and expanded on the virtual playbook. Then we began to take all of our current exercises and revamp them into a virtual setting. Then we began launching our Zoom team sessions and doing a variety of different portals on Zoom. And we began to grow, right? Because, you know, teams that couldn't afford to hire us to come out to their location could afford to pay for us to do a Zoom session with their team. And all of a sudden we built relationships with teams we never once thought that, you know, we never really built before. Now we're able to. And so, you know, we were able to work with multiple teams throughout the course of the week around the country when physically that wouldn't have been possible, mm-hmm. right? The way we had always done it. So, you know, this hope, this optimism, this belief that, like, now is the time we're going to do our best work, right? Let's show them. And I think the third thing is having a servant mindset. And you kind of touched on this, I think, before we started recording about the stewardship, okay? And I think that's even in maybe your notes there. Yeah. Let's talk about that. For me, I think in the spirit of change, if your focus remains on the main thing, change isn't that difficult to navigate because we're actually staying the same. Our mission for us in Lead 'Em Up is to develop players into the leaders needed to win. That's our goal. That's our mission statement, okay? To help coaches develop leaders into the players needed to, or develop players into the leaders needed to win. Well, guess what? That didn't change in light of COVID. That mission stayed the same. How we got to that mission, tweaks. But for us, we just wanted to stay focused serving that mission. And then at that point, the change doesn't feel that different. Okay, there's familiarity in the mission, okay? I don't know what the exact mission is of Chick-fil-A, but the mission in light of COVID didn't change. The process to how we attack that mission did. But for me, I talk so much like, okay, this stinks, right? Right, this, you know, what's our plan here? You know, regardless of sport happening or not, in person or not, man, we still got to think about how do we keep impacting people? Okay, so what is their new current dynamic? How do we reach the athlete now? Okay, how do we engage the athlete? Well, a 21-day player-led playbook. Okay, that's a great way to impact the athlete. Virtual team set, that's a great way. So for us, staying in the servant mindset of serving our mission, serving our main thing, allowed us to kind of navigate the change in a way that it didn't feel as much change as it was just a different approach for the same thing.
Yeah, and I can see overlaps in that for us as well. So our mission statement for our location specifically is that every guest feels personally cared for. That's not going to change, no matter what changes. That stays the same. And so it becomes a stewardship issue of the mission, right? And so it's my responsibility to make sure that we are executing on that at all costs. And so through the midst of change, it just looks different. The tactics and the fundamentals are different, but the end game is the same.
But I think people can grasp change better with that familiarity.
Yeah. It's, hey, we're still doing the same thing, guys. It's just going to look a little different. It's going to be packaged a little different. You're not, you know, hey, part of our strategy was to share a smile. It's literally written in our core handbooks.
The mask may play a role.
Like, well, hey, okay, well, let's talk about what that looks like now. Like, you know, now it's smile with your eyes. Like, it's like, okay, there's these other ways of doing the things that we did before. But the mission stays the same the entire time, which is to make sure that guests feel personally cared for. And that never changed. I think from a stewardship standpoint, to go back to what you said, stewardship is taking ownership over what God has given you, right? And so if he's given me a position of leadership, he's given me a position of influence over lives and people, it's my job and my responsibility to lead them through change. And I think that it's looking at them as humans and not just, a process to the end. And so stewarding your opportunity, stewarding your platform and the responsibilities that has been given to you, you better lean into it as a leader. I welcome change. I think it's fun. I like the complexity of it. I like the challenge. I like all the things that go into it, but my team doesn't feel the same way. So I have to help them. I have to help them along a little bit.
You know, maybe this is just my own personal hack, but you know, coming up as a athlete and playing sports and being such a sports minded individual, like I attack everything like it's an opponent, like it's a game,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like, you know, I attack change like it's a game. Okay. Like
win it, figure it out, find out what its weaknesses are, find out what strengths are, like,
yeah,
play to it.
Let's see what we got to do to win it.
Yeah.
Right. And like, let's go. Okay, let's get after it. Okay, like there's a lot of people that would sulk in the midst of change, but like I think they have the wrong perspective of it. Like, let's, you know, if we have a winning mindset and that's how we want to approach it, like we should approach change the same way. And, you know, I think about, you know, from a team perspective, there's changes that are happening all throughout the course of a season, changes of strategy, changes of lineups, changes of roles on your team. Okay, where your role changes, whatever it happens to be. And like, I think no matter where the change leads you, win the new position.
Yeah.
That's it. Wherever the lead changes, you win the new position. Okay. And if COVID put us in this position, okay, well, guess what? I'm going to win in the new position because I'm a winner.
Yeah.
Okay. And the people around me, guess what? We're all going to win because yes, it's going to be different. But then at the end of the day, we're going to work to get the win in the scoreboard, right? Because we're winners. Like, and I know that sounds so cheesy. We're winners, right?
No,
but I'm giving you a glimpse into my mindset. I'm like, let's go.
Well, like, I feel the same way. I mean, it was like, I will not be defeated. Like, I will not. So I will fight. Well, I will fight for my business. I will fight for my people. I will fight to win every single day. So what does that look like?
Yeah.
So it's that zeal and that tenacity and that grit that a leader has naturally, but you just can't give up. Like, you got to figure it out.
So that should excite you, right? Because if change can get the best out of you, as it should from a leader's perspective, mm-hmm. a leader should, you should do your best work in the midst of the most difficult
Absolutely.
Times.
Absolutely. Okay? And you're going to look, I mean, the person you are at the end is a refined version of yourself, right? And so if you keep walking through change and you have almost an open door policy to change, like welcoming it, man, you just know that the grind is going to refine you.
Well, if leaders want to be their best, and most leaders do, they've got that growth mindset of wanting to be their best. And then they recognize that change will get the best out of me. You should then welcome the change.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right? All right. Because
yeah.
Guess what? You're going to see a new part of me, a new type of me that's going to be better than ever. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Let's fire it up.
And the last thing you want is mediocrity, right? And so for me, I love change. I love looking at the Chick-fil-A calendar, you know, the rollout calendar, and seeing what's coming down the road and be like, all right, bring it. Love it. Let's figure it out. Like, it's going to make us better. And I'm ready to rock and roll. So.
Well, last time I was in your location there's a lot of change, right? It looks different. Your office was in the play area. Yeah. Okay. Like, have your restaurant still isn't open to dine in and things like that. But once again, you know, you had your best year ever last year. I think you just came off your best month ever.
I did.
So in the midst of all of it there, you're not losing. Okay. The winning is still taking place. So I think there's hopefully a lot of different takeaways from today's episode, different thoughts and processes. And I know today this whole thought process has challenged me even more to like continue just viewing change in a different perspective. Okay. And so listen, we appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate you joining us today. For Kayla, I'm Adam. As always, have fun and lead them up. Hey, before you go, we want to take a minute and thank our friends over at Chick-fil-A for sponsoring our podcast. Chick-fil-A is not only a place where you can go get a warm meal served with superb hospitality, but it's a place committed to caring for its communities and developing young people. That is part of the reason why we're so excited to have Chick-fil-A on board with us. It's because we share that vision of developing young people and developing people in general into the leaders they can become. So I want to encourage you to go support your local Chick-fil-A. And remember, it is more than just a chicken sandwich. Hey, we appreciate you listening. Until next time, have fun and lead them up.